Good evening, everyone. Buenas noches. I'm Jennifer Vitas, Metro's Chief Customer Experience Officer. Welcome to the Metro Telephone Town Hall. This is your chance to ask questions and share your ideas and feedback with Metro's senior leadership team and board of directors. In a moment, we'll hear from Los Angeles Mayor and Metro Board Chair Karen Bass, Metro CEO Stephanie Wiggins, and Metro board members. Later, we'll have a system safety update, and we'll also hear from the Office of Management and Budget. But mostly, we want to hear from you. The majority of this hour-long town hall will be dedicated to taking questions and comments from callers. To ask a question, all you have to do is press 0 on your phone to get into the queue. Please note that this is a live public event. It is being recorded, and it will be made available to the public and the news media. To kick off this town hall, joining us now via recorded message is the Mayor of Los Angeles, Metro's Board Chair, Karen Bass.
Good evening. This is Mayor Karen Bass, and I'm so excited about this evening's telephone town hall. I used to do this all the time in Congress and want to thank each of you for your continued engagement as we work to make our public transportation system safer and more accessible for all. Your suggestions and opinions are important in helping our agency understand what matters most to riders and identifying new ways to enhance our transportation network. Throughout the discussion, we want to hear from you about Metro's future and how we can best serve you, whether it's expanded public safety resources, improved cleaning, or service enhancements. We want to know what matters most to you. Thank you all again for being here today, and thank you to CEO Stephanie Wiggins for your continuing work to ensure Angelenos stay informed.
Thank you, Mayor Bass. Now I'd like to introduce Metro CEO Stephanie Wiggins.
Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you, Mayor Bass, for recording those remarks. Good evening, everyone. I'm Stephanie Wiggins, CEO of LA Metro. I also want to invite each of you to please join the conversation tonight. At LA Metro, we want to be your ride. We want to be your first choice for transportation, but we know we have to earn that. So we're working hard to improve your experience with our transit services. And in order to do that well, we need to hear what's important to you. We want to listen to your needs and concerns and learn what is most important to you so we can take actions that will make Metro your first choice. We also want to share with you some of the ways we've improved based on your previous feedback. Leaders from across every Metro department are on this call ready to answer your questions and share some of the work that is underway. We have a lot of good stories to tell at Metro. For example, did you know Metro's ridership continues to increase year over year for more than 15 months and counting? We had more than 23 million boardings system-wide in February, with some of our weekend ridership starting to grow even higher than the pre-pandemic ridership. And while remote work is here to stay for many, we're honored that more and more people are choosing to go Metro as they make their way to sporting events, concerts, museums, and now with this warmer weather, the beach and other outdoor adventures. So what explains this continuous growth in ridership? Well, several things. We have improved service frequency, we've improved reliability, we've enhanced safety, and we've enhanced cleanliness. But we know we have more to do, so we're going to keep making those areas a priority. Meanwhile, please keep giving us your feedback on how we're doing and where we can improve your experience. So thank you for dialing in tonight, and I look forward to hearing your comments and suggestions as we make sure your voice is included in our next fiscal year priorities.
Thank you for those remarks, CEO Wiggins. So now we would actually like to take some questions from our callers. If you have a question or comment, just press 0. Ian, who's our first question?
First question is coming to us from Kenneth in Gardenia, who's asking, is there any way to prevent people from urinating in the elevator and stairs? Is there any way to provide bathrooms at Metro stations? And I think we'll go to Errol Taylor, our Deputy Chief Officer for Maintenance and Engineering, for this one. Again, that's from Kenneth.
Hello, good afternoon, Kenneth. Thank you for that question. We clean our stations generally two times per day, and we have most of our red line stations where we have custodians assigned to the stations to clean them, to keep them clean. Regarding bathrooms, I'm happy to say that we are in the middle of a pilot program where we have installed some basically smart restrooms. They're called Throne, and we have them installed right now at the Westlake MacArthur Park station, the Willowbrook Rosa Park station, and the Norwalk station. And it has proved to be very successful, well used, and we are planning to roll more out at other stations. So stay tuned for that. You will see those smart restrooms at other stations. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate that answer. And we're going to go right to our next question. This one's going to come live from the phones, and it's coming from Dan in North Hollywood. Hey, Dan, you're live. Go ahead with your question, please, sir.
Hi, thanks. So I have two questions. Number one is, you know, I see that the ambassadors have been present, and that's been helping. But on the red line going from downtown back to North Hollywood in the evening, there's a consistent, strong mental illness presence of passengers on the train, and there's no police presence or any security presence, and we go many, many stations without anyone there. And so yesterday there was a fight that broke out on the train, today there was someone masturbating on the train, and all I'm doing is texting the phone number, and I describe, and maybe someone can get there eventually, but it feels very unsafe, and we're all kind of left by ourselves. There's just no police presence on the platforms between these stations.
Got it, Dan. Thank you so much. Appreciate that question. We're going to take it to Ken Hernandez, our Chief Safety Officer here.
So this is Robert Gummer. I'm the Deputy Chief over System Security and Law Enforcement. So happy to take your question, Dan. You know, so we recognize, you know, some of the challenges during rush hour in the evenings. You know, so as part of our multi-layer deployment, you know, you'll see a variety of different resources on the system at all hours of the day. You know, we try to spread our resources both on the platforms, the mezzanines at times, but also having train riding teams in between the various stations on the red line. The North Hollywood station is actually one of our end-of-line stations, so there's usually a full complement of our multi-layer resources deployed there. We also have substantial resources on some of the Metro, Union Station, and train riding teams in between. So we're constantly trying to improve that presence, so we'll definitely take your feedback and see what more we can do.
Thank you for the answer and appreciate the question, Dan. We're going to go to our next live question coming from Diamond. Hey, Diamond, welcome to the call. What's your question for us?
It's actually a compliment. I want to say with the caller before me, I'm very sorry that you're going through what you're going through. I feel confident that they will have that resolved because I live on the end of downtown, the Bunker Hill area station. I do want to say whoever came up with the idea of having those ambassadors there, thank you. I'm disabled, and without the ambassadors being there, and then I've seen transit security there, as well as LAPD, those three groups working together make me feel safer and a proud passenger. Because everywhere I go, but I do acknowledge them and let them know. And I tell them, I always end the conversation with, thank you for being here. And when I say that, I mean it absolutely. Because I could be the new toy. Various people who have substance abuse issues and or severe mental health conditions will turn me into a toy if the ambassadors were not there. I applaud them for being there because they're knowledgeable and what trains you may need to take, or buses, et cetera. Having people there is awesome and it's priceless. But I feel confident that that situation on that end of Los Angeles will get resolved quickly because we have a lot of ambassadors. And to me, it's very important that the morale is kept up by us passengers. The least we can do is give back by saying thank you, and especially thank you for being here. So thank you so much.
Yeah, appreciate you, Diamond. And we'll just take your comment to Vanessa Smith, Executive Officer of Customer Care and Customer Relations. Vanessa, that's from Diamond.
Hi, Diamond. Thank you so much. Thank you for your comment. Just want you and to reassure you that ambassadors are, again, there to support our employers, our employees and riders, connect riders to resources and report incidents, and the opportunities to provide good customer experience and improvement. So we really appreciate your comment and your acknowledgement, and we will continue to provide good customer experience to our customers. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, and appreciate all the questions we've got coming in. We're going to get our first question from our Spanish simulcast broadcast. Let me get this one up, and it'll be going to Joe Forgiarini here. So, Joe, this one coming from our Spanish simulcast is from Aurora in Paramount, asking, usually I take bus 265, but it's slow and late sometimes. I can't rely on it. Is it possible to have this bus run more frequently? And that is from Aurora in Paramount.
Great. Thank you, Aurora. Again, this is Joe from Metro Service Development Team. And firstly, yes, your line currently runs once per hour. And the good news I have to share is coming up in June of this year, June 23rd to be precise, we'll be launching service change. And that will include increasing the weekday service on that very line on Paramount Boulevard to every 40 minutes, 40 to 45 minutes. So we look forward to that improvement coming up in June this year. We'll have a number of such improvements to some of our less frequent lines across our network to try to help those lines recover their ridership. So again, thank you, Aurora, for writing. Apologies for any delays you've had, and we look forward to that improvement coming soon.
Thanks so much, Joe. Appreciate that answer. And thanks again to those of you listening in Spanish tonight. We'll go back to our English listening audience for our next one. I think this one's coming to you as well, Joe, from Shelley in Altadena. Shelley, go ahead with your question, please.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I wanted to speak today as I'm a writer of Metro Micro and have been for a couple years now. And I just find it invaluable, and I also feel that it is a huge resource, but it's always kind of on the verge of being shut down as a program. So I really want to stress how grateful I am to the service. I'm disabled. It has been a huge value that they've brought to my ridership, and I really appreciate it. So I really hope you don't close it down. Again, I have a big push for Metro Micro. It's wonderful. The drivers are wonderful. It's terrific.
Great. Thank you, Shelley. Again, this is Joe from our service development team. Really appreciate that feedback. You're not alone. Many of our riders of Metro Micro speak very highly of their experience and how valuable that service is to them. It is a pilot program. It is coming up towards the original intended three-year pilot. It has certainly had some great ridership results, particularly the zone that you're calling from in Pasadena, Altadena, Sierra Madre area. So shout out to all the gang out there who are riding that service so actively. It's one of our best used Metro Micro zones. So, yeah, the Metro Board will certainly work with the Metro staff to consider the future for the program, and we will need to make some decisions about that to decide. But I think, you know, the experience to date and the testimonies we heard, particularly when we were doing the recent restructuring of the fares for that service, spoke how strongly those who use that service appreciate it. So, Shelley, we'll definitely take your feedback in mind as we consider the future for that program. Thanks again for your support of it.
Thank you again. Appreciate you, Joe. And thanks so much, Shelley, for being a part of our forum today. We're going to go to our next question. It was submitted in advance by one of our web registrants, and thanks to those of you who have registered for these calls and who have submitted questions in advance through that web registration. This one comes from Tisha in Terminal Island, who's asking, how would this budget impact everyday people like me? I think we'll go to Tim Mengel, Executive Finance Officer from the Office of Management and Budget for this one.
Hi, Tisha. Thank you for the question. Metro is more than just buses and trains. Whether you go metro or travel through Los Angeles County in other ways, this budget impacts your mobility. It includes $3 billion to fund Metro's bus and rail network. In addition, this budget also includes over $2 billion in funding for transit and paratransit operators throughout the county. It also includes local return funding for the 88 cities and unincorporated areas to address their transportation priorities like streets, bike lanes, sidewalks, and bus stops. Another $2 billion will be spent to build new transit projects that impact many communities, maybe even ones you travel through regularly. Metro's work to improve mobility impacts everyone in this county, and this budget reflects that.
Right. Thank you so much. We will get back into Q&A in just a moment. We've got a couple of other speakers who will get everybody up to speed on the status of Metro. Back to Jennifer Vitas here to introduce them.
Thank you to all our callers. If you're still in the queue, please be patient. We'll be taking more questions. And now it is my pleasure to welcome Metro Board Director Jacqueline DuPont-Walker to this town hall.
Thank you, Jennifer, and good evening, Los Angeles County. It's great to be participating once again. During my first term, when I chaired the Budget and Finance Committee, we initiated the Metro Telephone Town Hall. I am encouraged and elated to see what the town hall has become. Kudos, Team Metro. More importantly, I'm excited to be a part of the 2024 series, anxious to hear from you directly, our riders, and the public. Customer focus groups, ridership studies, user surveys, and other forms of research are valuable in their own way, but nothing is quite like hearing directly from riders in your own words and with your own experiences about the Metro system. The feedback received from you tonight and from other channels will be essential in our decision-making to help provide an equitable service and increase access to opportunities for all Angelenos. Tonight, I am happy to join the Metro team in answering questions, but also I want to hear how you think Metro can improve and provide the service that you want. The unique forum is for you, so please take this time to share your thoughts and opinions if you would like. Please do not feel that you have to ask a question. If you just want to tell us what we're doing well or not so well, that's fine too. But do me a huge favor. As you board the Metro buses or ride by the buses or see the trains, wave and smile. Make the day for our Metro team, our bus, train, micro, mini, and access operators. So again, I'm happy to be here to listen, to respond to whatever's on your mind. Go Metro. Now back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Director DuPont-Walker. Now let's take a few more questions from our callers. If you have a question for our panel of Metro experts, please press zero. Ian, who's first?
All right, we've got our next question coming to us from Enrique in South Central LA, who's asked me to read this question, so let me get it up for Enrique. He's asking, what are the police doing about the homeless using drugs on the blue line? There's no police on the train, and I have to... All right. Can everybody hear me now? Excellent. Thank you. All right. So the question is from Enrique, who's asking from South Central LA, what are the police doing about the homeless using drugs on the blue line? There's no police on the train. My customers and coworkers are not happy about it at all. Why do I have to pay a fare and deal with this when I know they don't pay the fare themselves? We have to stop this somehow because we need to be able to use the Metro. And who are we going to for the answer to this one?
So happy to begin the answer to that question. This is Rob Gummer again from Assisted Security and Law Enforcement. So just to be clear, you know, we recognize the homeless challenges across the system, you know, and part of our multi-layer has homeless outreach services that we try to connect those in need with the resources, you know, and I'd say amongst that multi-layer, we continuously communicate just to see where some of those trends are. One other thing I think to be an important note is that, you know, the public safety or public transportation is a resource. Public transportation is a resource for those who are experiencing homelessness to be able to get to services that they actually need. And there are plenty of those who are experiencing homelessness who are paying fare, you know, and unfortunately, you know, they're going through, you know, their circumstances. So we have to look at things through both an empathetic lens, but also, you know, address those who are on transportation, not for the purposes of transit. So it's a careful balance. We've been working collaboratively with both our internal to Metro and external law enforcement partners to make sure we address this as best we can. We have opportunities for improvement, but we'll continue to work to make it a better experience for you as a customer.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate that answer. All right. Let's get our next question. This is going to come from Brian in Lamar Park. Let me get his question, and I'll be reading it. Actually, let's bring Brian live. I think we've got Brian on the phone. Hang tight there, Brian. All right. Brian, welcome to the call. Go ahead with your question, please.
Oh, yeah, good evening. I was calling specifically about the GoPass program. It's an excellent program. The students have used it very well and are becoming more accustomed to it. I was understanding that it was having it's a pilot program, so it's coming to a funding end. Is there any chance that this program will become permanent? Because I think it would be essential to encourage young people, in particular this generation, to move away from cars and public transportation. And this is the time to put the investment into that generation.
Great question, Brian. Thank you so much for joining us from Lamar Park. We're going to take this question to Monica Bolden, our Deputy Chief of Customer Experience.
Hi, Brian, and good evening. Thank you so much. We are also very excited about our GoPass program because in the last 2.5 years, we've had more than 375 students from over 124 districts take 35 million rides. So to answer your question directly, yes, we continue to work with local, regional, statewide, and national stakeholders to secure state and federal support for GoPass as well as other Metro Fare programs. And at the state level, we're also continuing to work on AB 610, which is a proposal to fund student transit passes statewide. We're also exploring opportunities to secure additional grants. So we are right there with you and are looking for ways to keep the program moving forward.
Thank you again. Appreciate the question. Thank you to the Monica for the answer. We're going to go to our next question in just a moment. A reminder to those of you on the phone that if you have a question, you can press 0 to submit it to our queue, and I don't think we have our next question queued up yet. Why don't we go to our next speaker here? Let's go to our next speaker here, and we'll go ahead and jump back into Q&A in a moment.
Okay. Thank you for all of our callers for those questions. Now let's hear the latest from Metro System Safety and Law Enforcement Team. We have with us tonight Metro's Interim Deputy Chief of System Security and Law Enforcement, Robert Gummer. Welcome, Robert.
Thanks, Jennifer. As you may remember, last summer we implemented the multi-layer public safety plan. We know that safety means different things to different people. That's why our multi-layer plan brings our public safety partners together to include ambassadors, homeless and care, outreach, transit security, contract security, and law enforcement, and we strategically deploy them across the system. This deployment has proven successful through the sharp decrease in the most serious crimes in our system and an increase in the number of people experiencing a crisis who are connected to services or to needed services by our care teams. We also see an increase in uniform presence by Metro ambassadors, care teams, safety, and law enforcement personnel. On the bus side, we are taking a number of steps to make things safer for our customers and our employees. We are now deploying dedicated transit security teams on bus lines with the highest number of incidents to help deter crime and also work for our bus operators on de-escalation techniques along with law enforcement bus riding teams as an augmented force and ambassadors on buses for increased presence and visibility. We are also working on developing enhanced bus barriers to provide added protection for bus operators. We know we still have more work to do to build your trust and make Metro your first choice. We are making progress. We're happy to take your questions and respond to your comments.
Thank you, Robert. Again, callers, if you have questions about what you just heard or anything else, press 0 on your phone to get into the queue to make your comment. Let me repeat again. This is a live public event. It is being recorded and will be made available to the public and to the news media. Before we take some more calls, I have a quick announcement about an upcoming event. Join us in celebrating Older Americans Month at Metro's 8th Annual Older Adult Transportation Expo. It's on Tuesday, May 7th at the Pasadena Convention Center. This year's theme is Connecting Communities One Ride at a Time. Los Angeles residents age 55 and older are invited to participate in a day of information, resources, and enjoyable activities aimed at addressing transportation needs. Register now at metro.net/onthemove. Now let's get back to the phone lines. Ian, who's our next question?
Thank you so much, Jennifer. Let's go ahead and get Henry from Monterey Park up here next. Hey, Henry, thanks for waiting. You're live. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Good evening, everyone. I just have a question about how Metro adjusts schedules to make them more reliable every 6 months. It appears that staff is adding the same amount of time to trips across the day and night, resulting in many buses running ahead of schedule and parking on the side of the road and just waiting there. This is especially true during midday and nighttime outside of rush hours. So NextGen increased bus frequency so that we don't really have to depend on schedules as much, but it's really hard to predict how long a bus will take to travel a mile if it just keeps parking on the side. And the extra time has also caused some trips to be cut, so that's reduced service. So I'm just wondering more about this process and if it can be more accurate. Thank you.
Yeah, and let's go to Joe Forgiorini for the answer to this one. Thank you for your question, Henry.
Thank you, Henry. This is again Joe from our Metro Service Development team. Our department does do the scheduling of our Metro bus and rail service. To do that, we use a large quantity of data recorded from our vehicles as they move around each day, completing each trip on each of our bus and rail lines. So we have multiple samples, can be upwards of 20 to 50 samples for each trip on each bus or rail line to analyze those and come up with run times that are reflective of the commonly experienced conditions. That being said, we do experience variability from day to day. Some days of the week, traffic and other conditions can be more favorable. Other days, not as much. So we have to try to set a schedule that is realistic to manage for the majority of days that would be classed as normal conditions. So we do, as you pointed out, review those and reissue our schedules twice per year in June and in December. In fact, our next service change will be coming up June 23rd. And Henry, again, if you have any particular locations where you've seen excessive amount of hanging around at those locations, I believe you're referring to what we call our time points. Those are those published times along our bus or rail lines where we have that time published in our schedules and where our operators will wait in order to not run early. So, again, if you're experiencing anything excessive at a given location, just let us know. Give our call center a call. You can even leave a bit more detail with us tonight. We'd be happy to look at any examples. Thank you again for your feedback.
Much appreciated. Thank you again for the answer from Joe. We're going to go back to one of our questions that we've gotten on the phones from Danny in Lakewood. Danny, welcome to the call. What's your question for us?
My question is about a contract. Wondering if Metro have a contract with LAPD or with the sheriffs to ride the red lines and the blue line trains. I work for Metro, and I'm always in the system at Metro. I mean, so do my wife work for Metro as well, and she's always in the train systems. I took my wife on a trip on the train to go see the Michael Jackson Experience over in Hollywood, off of Hollywood and Vine. I knew the condition and the situation and the danger on the train, so I took a weapon out with me to try to protect ourselves. We sat on the back of one of the trains, so to just watch our backs. It was disgusting, to say the least, with the drugs going on, the homeless people on the trains and the trash as well. And so this is why I'm asking my question. I remember when Metro had a contract with LAPD, and they flooded the system. And it made the system a whole lot safer. I'm with the rest of the callers on this line who've asked questions about this and have concerns about the safety on the blue lines, the red lines, and the green lines. The Bunker Hill stations are different. Those are new stations. People aren't flooding those stations yet. But there's a real concern with safety on the red line, the blue line, the green line trains. And I want to know if Metro's ever going to get another long-standing contract with either the LAPD or the sheriffs to flood the system to keep people safe to ride them. I don't ride it anymore. I've only rode it once in the past 5 years because of this problem. So please answer my question on whether or not we're going to get another contract with one of these police departments.
Sure thing. Thank you, Danny. Appreciate you coming in with your question. We're going to take this to Robert Gummer, our Senior Executive Officer for System Security and Law Enforcement.
Hey, good evening, Danny. Happy to answer your question. So regarding our contracts, we currently contract with three law enforcement agencies, LAPD, LASD, and Long Beach, and we've had that partnership now for a number of years. So what that partnership, you know, comes down to is the enforcement of penal code on the system, you know, and that's for a variety of different things system-wide. So law enforcement supports us on our platforms, particularly at our end-of-line stations, you know, and then we strategically try to place law enforcement throughout the system. One thing with flooding the system with law enforcement, as you had recommended, is that we recognize that there's different views of safety for different people, and we have to make sure that our solutions and our resources align to the various needs in the communities that ride our system. You know, so, you know, I think the good news with our multi-layer deployment, you know, which has been very successful since last year, is the fact that we are, you know, I guess increasing the presence of Metro staff, which is also impacting the feeling of safety. You know, we still have a lot of work to do. We are addressing a lot of societal issues, but, you know, I'm confident that our current strategies, augmenting law enforcement with human-centered care-based approaches, is really the way forward, and we can look to continue to do that and continue to elevate these resources on the system. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, appreciate that answer, and thank you for being a part of our forum, Danny. We're going to go to our next question coming to us from Tony in Glassell Park, who's asking, what is the status of improving transportation to the airport? And we'll go to Tim Lindholm, Deputy Chief Program Management Officer, for this one.
Well, good evening, Tony, and thank you for such an excellent question. I hope you're as excited as we are that we're about to open the Airport Metro Connector Station right by the end of the year. So we're about 80% done with the project. We're putting on the finishing touches. This new station will have one of our largest bus terminals. It will have a connection of the Metro Rail system, both the C and the K line, directly to LAX, the automated people mover they're building, as well as a bike hub. So the only bad news that I could give you about this project is that the connection to the automated people mover that LAWA is building, or that's LAX, is running a little bit behind. So when we first open the station, our trains will not connect directly to the automated people mover because it won't be running yet. However, in that short time while we're open and they're not quite ready, LAX is going to be running shuttles from our station directly into LAX. So good things coming, you know, and we'll see you when we open up the station in by the end of the year. So thank you for the great question, Tony.
Okay, and appreciate the answer. Thanks so much. Let's go back to the phones here for our next one coming to us from Bree in East LA. Bree, welcome to our call, and go ahead with your question, please.
Hi. I want to start by saying I ride Metro most days of the week and have for several years. My main reason for joining this call today is to address something that is a real concern for myself and I'm sure others as well. The issue is that the new Metro buses do not have windows which open. I'm unsure if there's a good reasoning behind this or simply a design choice which neglected to really think about the consequences of such a choice. Sometimes the AC on the bus doesn't work or doesn't work very well. I'm not sure if this is something that must be checked every day for a bus to be in operation or not. Some days it can get very hot on the bus, especially in the summer. On the other hand, sometimes the buses can be kept extremely cold while it's hot outside and people do not have a jacket with them, which can leave them freezing while riding the bus. In both situations, whether it's really hot or really cold on the bus, it can be nice to be able to open a window to get some relief. Sometimes it can be very smelly on the bus, whether it be body odor, perfume, smelly bags and luggage, food, etc. Open the window can provide some relief in those situations as well. And unfortunately, sometimes people smoke cigarettes, marijuana, or other drugs on the bus. I've approached the driver of the bus on several occasions because of such activity, which usually occurs in the very back of the bus, which is where I usually like to sit. But contacting the driver about such activity can put my own safety at risk, as the person may attack you for snitching on them. Sometimes just being able to move and or open a window when this is happening can at the very least improve airflow in the bus, which is vital. Please know, just because folks are not calling complaining about these things doesn't mean that things aren't happening. People are busy. No one wants to take time out of their day to call Metro to complain. I really hope my comments here today do not fall on deaf ears and these buses can start to be retrofitted with windows that open. I know there will be a cost, but I do believe this is an extremely important thing to be remedied.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, Bree. We are going to go to Errol Taylor, our Deputy Chief Officer for Maintenance and Engineering, for this one.
Hi. Good afternoon, Bree. Thank you for your comments. It's much appreciated. Right now, our buses, as you know, are designed really to have the windows closed, but I will certainly take it back to the team to see what can be done to be able to have those windows open. In the meantime, though, we're constantly working to improve our air conditioning system. I understand the challenges there, and I agree that we need to do a better job to have those air conditioning systems working. They are designed to provide the best environment within the bus. And as you know, having the windows closed will prevent bad air quality from really getting inside the buses. So, we'll do two things. We'll work to improve the air conditioning system. Regarding odors in the buses, we're adding more staff to do more cleaning of the buses. We currently clean them, in addition to at the bus yards, we're cleaning them midday at the layover zones. So we're going to attack and try to address everything that you've stated there, especially to ensure that we have the air conditioning systems working much more reliably and have the odors and cleaning done on the buses. Thank you for your very detailed comments. And it's much appreciated.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you, Errol. Thanks for the answer to the question. Thank you, of course, to Bree for asking your question, sharing the thoughts with us. We're going to go to Aiden Franklin Hills next, who's asking, why is Metro widening streets? Why has Metro not been adding bus lines or light rail with the money from propositions passed? And why is Metro working to preserve car infrastructure rather than prioritizing public transportation? We're going to go to Ray Sosa, our Chief of Planning, for this answer.
Thank you very much, Ada, for that question. It was a very good one. I do want to say we actually like to partner with local cities on projects and improvements on their streets, and we do so not to widen the streets, but actually to improve and increase the number of people that we move through the streets. So what we do is implement with partnerships with the local cities what we call complete streets. So we look at implementing bus-only lanes, adding bike lanes, improving safety on these local streets, to improve the number of people that the street actually serves and creates a safe environment. We are on a very aggressive plan to add bus and light rail lines across the county, funded through Measure M, and that also includes improvements in bicycle facilities, safety improvements, bus-only lanes, bus rapid transit, et cetera. So right now we are working on projects like the Eastside Transit Corridor Phase 2 extension, like the completion of the K line, the Southeast Gateway line, which will extend to the southeast. We're about to start construction of a light rail line on the East San Fernando in the East, called the East San Fernando Valley Light Rail Project in the San Fernando Valley. The North San Fernando Valley bus improvements, the North Hollywood to Pasadena bus rapid transit, and I can go on still for more. So we are implementing an aggressive plan. We're trying to move as many people in public transit and another modes besides driving alone. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, appreciate you, Ray. And we're going to go to a couple of questions here from our web chat, and they're going to go to Joe Forgiarini again. Joe, these are coming from Kenneth in Gardenia, who's saying, Crenshaw is a very busy bus line. It is a dead spot in regards to the train network. Are there any plans for a light rail running north-south around Crenshaw-Van Ness? He also asked that same dead spot going east-west along Rosencrantz is the I-25, which is unreliable at times and does not run very late or early. So I feel like that part of Gardenia, Hawthorne, Lawndale is a great place for more service. Joe, can you take this concern on from Kenneth?
Yeah, thank you, Kenneth, for that inquiry. I'll tackle the bus question first. You mentioned the 125 bus line, and certainly we can work to improve the reliability on that line. I apologize if you've experienced any late running or cancellations of trips that might have disrupted your travel. That line I know is one of our lines that does finish relatively early in the evening, and we do have goals to expand its evening hours out into to later evening than when we finish now. In terms of the rail projects, you know, we do have some projects planned for the expansion of rail, namely the South Bay extension, which would run down south from our current Sea Line terminal at Redondo Beach. It's still a project in development, so it's coming up to a fairly important milestones in the near future. So keep in touch with our Metro board program, and you'll see it. I believe it may even be on the board this month for some discussion about its alignment. So again, that's the South Bay extension of the existing sea line south from Redondo Beach. So again, thanks, Kenneth, for those suggestions and feedback.
Appreciate you, Kenneth. Yeah, thanks to those of you participating through our web simulcast today. We're going to go back to the phones for our next one coming from Dan. Hey, Dan, welcome to the call.
Thanks. My household, we gave up a car, went down to a one-car household. I'm a public school teacher, so I commute to work Monday through Friday using the bike and the rail line. And I just wanted to know, I appreciate what the previous caller was asking about with bicycle infrastructure. I know it's a tough problem. It's a political problem, too. But I wanted to know if you could speak more about the upcoming bicycle improvements and especially the bike path for the valley side and the river.
Got it. Thank you, Dan. Let's go back to Ray Sosa, our chief of planning, for this one.
Thank you for the call. I'll start with the LA River project, portion of the project in the valley. We are working with the City of Los Angeles. We are have an agreement with them where they will actually complete that portion of the LA River Bike Path project in the Valley. We are funding them through our Measure M sales tax measure funds. So that is moving right along. Further south in the downtown area, we're conducting a study for the LA River Bike Path within the downtown, just south of what you would call Taylor Yards, to just north of the end of the LA County portion of the LA River Bike Path. In addition to that, we're working on a bike path called the Rail to Rail Project, which is anticipated to be open probably within a year, and that connects the K line and the Blue Line, and eventually the Southeast Gateway Line, as well as the J Line, along Slauson Boulevard in South LA. We also have a number of projects that are actually in operation next to existing lines on the G Line and the E Line, and there will be one next to, or is one next to, what will be the future Southeast Gateway Line. So we have a number of bike paths that are in the planning stages, in the construction stages, and in the operation stages. And then in addition to that, we work with local cities and the county around each of our stations to develop first last mile plans, where we look at improvements within the first last mile around stations. And for bikes, we actually look at an area about 3 miles out of routes that the cities can invest monies in, using some of the Measure M money as well as our local money, as well as pursuing federal and state grants to implement bike paths to better improve the use of active transportation to get to our stations. So we're working on all of that and trying to improve the connection for bikes to the overall system. Thank you for your call.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate that answer. And we're going to go to our next one coming from Channing in Merck Park. And Channing, it looks like you're looking for more service into that area and you're looking for more police. Do you want to elaborate on that?
I'm looking for more service and no police. Whenever I catch the bus, I've been catching the bus for more than 30 years. It's been taking at least an hour to get anywhere in the city, whereas in driving that same route, it takes 20 minutes. So, for example, there's a lot less service at nighttime because Metro in the early 90s cut nighttime service. But for me, what that means is when I get off of work and it's time for me to get to the gym, I can't get to my training appointment on time because the Metro doesn't run enough service. I know that you guys have about a $9 billion budget and have money to add service. And so folks need service, not just in Limerick Park, citywide, tremendously more. Lastly, you know, in that Metro operators are already being assaulted and Metro has spent more than $1 billion on police. I think for me, if I were that bad at my job, I would be fired. And I think it's not a solution to continue to hire more police. We're part of the program. We're one of the organizations that fought for the ambassadors, and I think it's really beautiful that they're on there. I think that program does not get enough credit and needs more expansion to that program and less money to the police, who just spend time on the system arresting and ticketing Black people. As you know, Black folks are 50% of all citations and arrests on Metro buses and trains. And so it makes no sense to add more police. And things keep happening on Metro buses and trains, but the police aren't solving them, but instead they're criminalizing Black and Latinx folks. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Channing. And I think we'll start out with Joe Forgiarini here with your questions on service.
Great. Thanks, Channing, for the comments, and noted one of our areas that we do need to work on is the evening service frequencies. We do typically have much higher service levels during the daytime into the early evening, but once we get up, you know, 8 to 9 p.m., we do typically drop down to, you know, typically 20 to 30 minute service on many lines. That is a challenge as we find efficiencies in our network that we can start devoting more resources into those periods, particularly those periods in that 8 through midnight period. We note the challenge. We know we have more work to do in that area. Our next-gen bus plan did lay out the targets for how we would improve those evening services. We just need to free up the resources in our budgeting for our service to create those extra service levels. So thank you again. We look forward to achieving that moving forward.
Yeah, thank you so much, Channing. Appreciate your questions and your comments, and thanks for being a part of our forum here. We've got time for a couple more questions, about 7 minutes left in our live forum here. We're going to go to Wesley and Silmar next. Hey, Wesley, welcome. What's your question?
First full year that I started riding with Metro full-time, and so I'm super grateful for the service. My question essentially, I ride a 234 and 152 pretty religiously, and I've noticed that there are a lot of people that get on the bus that don't pay. And for me, you know, a person who actually lost a job because my car was totaled and I started riding public transportation, but as a person who typically pays for my rides, it makes me concerned that I'm just like, well, not many people are paying. So what am I doing here? Even though I would never do that, it's just concerning.
All right. Thank you so much, Wesley. Appreciate you bringing this question to us. We're going to go back to Robert Gummer, our Senior Executive Officer for System Security and Law Enforcement next.
Thank you, Wesley, for your question or your comments. We definitely recognize some of the challenges when it comes to fare. So that's why we have our transit security bus riding teams, not just to address issues when it comes to operator assaults, but to also, ensure that our patrons are paying fare to be on our system. You know, so when they actually go on to the buses, one of their responsibilities is to use a mobile phone validator and verify that the patrons on there are in fact paying fare. So we definitely appreciate your feedback. We appreciate your diligence to doing the right things when you're on our system. And I hope to provide more improvements as we continue along this journey. Thank you.
All right. Thank you again for the answer. And we're going to go to our next live question from Lee in Paramount. Lee, welcome to the call. What's your question for? Oh, it looks like Lee wants me to read this one. I will go ahead and do that. So Lee's asking, will more public lots at stations be having more electric car charging stations? And I think we'll be going back to Errol Taylor for the answer to this one from Lee in Paramount.
Hi, good afternoon, Lee. Thank you for that question. And I'm happy to say that the answer is yes. We have a project that we're working on to install more charging stations for customers, who have electric cars. So I'll say stay tuned, but that is a program that we're working on. And by the way, I'm also training my staff to be able to maintain these new units. So please stay tuned. Thank you.
Thank you again, Errol. Thank you to Lee for that question. Got time for another one here coming to us. This was actually submitted in advance by one of our web registrants from Joseph, who is in Santa Clarita, asking, with Metro being considered an official sponsor of the up-and-coming 2028 Olympics, what are Metro's plans to prepare for it? Also, with those plans in place, what new job opportunities with Metro will this create? We're going to go to Salita Reynolds, our Interim Chief People Officer, for the answer to this one. Salita?
Thanks. I'm actually happily no longer the Interim Chief People Officer, but the Chief Innovation Officer, and really appreciate the question, Joseph, about the upcoming games. First, just a quick point of clarification. Metro is not an official sponsor of the Olympic and Paralympic Games. That's really left up to the organizing committee known as LA28. However, Metro has definitely been spending a lot of time getting ready for those games, and we're very excited that Los Angeles and LA County and the other counties in the region will be able to host this really great event. So for the last couple of years, we have been at work planning out for each of the venues where we know there are events, how many additional buses we'll need, how many additional trains we'll need. We've been looking at some of those parking lots and thinking about how they can serve multiple functions for people who want to come and enjoy the games. And we're also thinking about how we can make investments in the region that will be in place long after the games are over. So we're thinking really hard about additional bus-only lanes, bike lanes, and other kinds of improvements that we can make for the Olympics that will benefit people who live, work, and play here in LA County as well. In terms of what jobs there'll be coming in the future, we don't have any official plans at the moment. We don't have an official count of additional jobs that we are anticipating. And many of those jobs are likely to be temporary in nature to support the games when they're here and to support some of the projects that we're going to build on our way to the games. So the best way to keep up to date on job opportunities is to go to Metro's job portal on metro.net.
Thank you so much, Salita. Appreciate that from our Chief Innovation Officer. And we'll go back to Jennifer Vitez next.
Thanks to all of our callers for all of your questions and comments. We consider your feedback to be a gift. It's the best way that we know how to improve. So now let's please welcome Tim Mengel from Metro's Office of Management and Budget. After Tim speaks, we'll take another 10 minutes of questions from live callers. Tim?
Thank you very much, Jennifer. It's great to be here tonight. We at Metro recognize that our mission is mobility. We know that in an area the size of Los Angeles County, mass transit in the form of buses, trains, and automobiles is critical. Metro's annual budget is one of the tools used to manage and direct our programs and activities. It's a one-year financial roadmap that is rooted in equity and openness. Through it, we seek to recognize and balance all our mobility investments across the region. In the past year, that's included continuing funding improvements at the city-local level and funding our municipal partners. Additionally, we have funded many initiatives to improve the safety and security of our system service and quality. So that's why we are here tonight, for staff to hear your priorities directly from you, our customers. Again, I want to thank you all for joining and sharing your thoughts tonight. Your priorities are the cornerstones of the decision-making process that helps us create Metro's FY25 budget. Back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Tim. We have reached the end of our live telephone town hall, so I really want to thank all of our callers and our speakers and Metro staff who responded to questions and comments tonight, and special thanks to our entire team in the Office of Management and Budget at Metro. The work they do is important. We took about 40 minutes of live questions and comments from callers tonight, but I apologize that we didn't get to every question. You can still leave us a message at the end of your call just by staying on the line as we wrap up. If you need someone from Metro to reach out to you, please be sure to leave your name, your phone number, and what you need help with. On behalf of Metro, thank you again for taking part in this live event.